Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and I am taking the reins of the show for NXT draped in gold. But I am not alone. I am being joined by the man who has chosen Formula One over each and every one of you. His name is Flo Bo Boyce. Flo Bo, how you doing today?
Oh, man, George Russell's going to win everything this weekend. Miami Grand Prix. What?
How dare you on such an important week where we've got championships on the line. It's spring breaking, but you were like, nah, I got better things to do.
I got dragged, man. All you got to do is request me. I go where I'm booked. That's that's the name of the game.
Hey, you know what? That's the truth. You go where they tell you to go. Thank you to everyone who's in the chat already, by the way. Kirsten Marie, thank you. Hello, how are you? And everyone, of course, who's watching or listening via the audio formats, like, comment, share, subscribe, all of that good stuff. How are you doing before we get into the show, by the way?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I was trying to see if I can fit in NXT 2.0 with my rigorous travel schedule, but like the episode this week was actually one of the best 2.0s ever done. So I'm like excited. I think I sat there, put my bag on the ground and or the floor or whatever, and just watched spring breaking. I mean, the leaps and bounds of that show since relaunching has been great.
It's been incredible, and we're going to talk about that show for sure. Real quick, is that one of your shirts, Brooklyn, or is that just a random shirt you own?
It's a random shirt. So my thing is with my travel goal is to go to all the California Mets games. I only have like 3 Mets shirts. So I figured I should get some Brooklyn shirts, some New York shirts. I can grow out there at the Angel Stadium or Dodger Stadium. So I couldn't wait. I had to break it out on this trip.
Well, it looks good. I like it. Anyone watching, you can't get that shirt from Floba, but go to flobito.threadless.com and buy a shirt. Why don't you? Let's talk about
it. Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the show, however, what we just watched, NXT UK. It was another great episode. Lots of stuff happening, lots of developments going on. The big story, however, though, is what we closed out with, that main event for the NXT Championship. Mako Satomura took on Isla Dawn in a I actually forgot to take down the note. It was a dark, wicked, evil match with the lights out and magic happening. And all sorts of crazy stuff happened in this match. And really, it was all Isla Dawn on offense. But it wasn't enough. And Mako was able to get the chair to use to set up that Scorpio Rising. Flobo, this is what happens. You tell me to take notes. I forget to put down the name of the match. But the question is, Flobo, the important thing you're trying to get to, has Mako Satomura fended off Isla Dawn for the last time?
World of Darkness match it was, and the answer is yes. Now on paper, I was gonna be like, oh, Mako's gonna have this in a runaway, and she did walk away with the championship. But though, NXT UK has been really stealthy of giving me enough story that it can go either way. Here is a champion that's been on top of the charts, but you know, you can tell the weight of the title has been very wary from Satomura. So if Isla Dawn found a way to win, I couldn't be mad, and it was theoretically her match to lose. But what we saw was, yeah, the final boss again found a way to, one, attack her opponent before the match even started. Nice. And two, maintain on top of the division.
Mako's the hero, by the way. Yeah, this match felt wildly out of character for NXT UK, to be totally honest. As Lamb says in the chat, the main event was unique, but Mako retained again. Didn't expect that, to be honest. It leads me to my question. I don't know what's next for Isla Dawn, but is she the most powerful magic user in all the WWE umbrella? And that sounds like a joke, but there's a couple of people actually consider themselves magic users under the WWE umbrella at this point.
Absolutely. Ever since the retirement of The Undertaker, we're looking for a new Sorcerer Supreme, and I will totally nominate Isla Dawn to be that.
She was using smoke. And again, I think she lost, but this really was her match. It felt like she was on offense almost the entire time. If not for the fact that Mako Satomura was able to somehow just withstand the fury and somehow come out with the win at the very end. Again, this is one of those ones where for 99% of the match, Isla Dawn was in control. 1% of the match, Mako Satomura gets a 3 count. I want to ask you though, this match as a whole, and this type of match. Now, this was, again, I said out of character for NXT UK. We don't see stuff like this in UK very often. Did you like this match? How did you feel about the match? One, from purely a presentation standpoint. Two, from how it felt as a fan watching the show. And three, if you would want to play in it as a video game.
Video game, absolutely. Yeah, why not? Because you already built the arena. Give me all the lighting effects. As a fan, hey, look, NXT UK has to innovate, and we can talk about what's happening with the brand as it celebrates 200 episodes next week. So I like the attempt. I'm not quite sure how this is different than most NXT UK matches, because all their matches are so hard-hitting, and they involve weapons. The refs go, just don't die. So right. I couldn't tell you what would be the difference, and so I can't say I would advocate for another one. But you know what? Why not have another main event with the women out there with a championship match? I don't care what the stipulation was. It was pretty solid. But the question I have for you, Jack, is your new best friend, Xia Brookside, the presumptive number one contender, though?
I mean, she should always be the number one contender. She's a Brookside.
Aw, Bruce.
Lamb says, I personally did not like the match. It was different, yes, but it must have been the lowest ranked NXT UK Women's Championship match in history. Ouch, that's a harsh review. But it does, and before we move on, I do want to say, and we've chatted a little bit about, we'll get into the American invasion, as I would call it. Now, I didn't watch NXT UK before it shut down during the 2020 period, but I have watched every episode since its return. So I don't know what it was like before everything shut down when the fans were first there, but it feels like over the past couple months, stipulation matches have been running roughshod with this kind of match, with the empty arena matches, things of that nature. Flobo, is this a totally different direction, or is this what they were doing before the shutdown?
The short answer is no. This is definitely new, and I feel like I can't answer without going into the evasion, because with you and I were talking about this offline, as what does NXT UK mean? It's growing in some ways, but in some ways it's sharing a lot of DNA with 2.0, and I think that's a product of that. NXT 2.0 is getting a lot of these well-seasoned talent from UK. In exchange, a lot of the experimentation of like match formats and backstage and even the cinematics are coming from NXT UK. So we're seeing like this like yin-yang exchange, and I guess it makes that good, because that way you can have NXT UK, but it definitely is a different direction. In fact, pre-pandemic, you guys haven't seen it, it felt like you were in like a dusty club, which NXT 1.0 did in its last waning days before a relaunch. It's kind of like this gritty nightclub kind of feel, and then became its own thing. So it looks like it's just feeding into that.
So it'll be interesting to see if this continues with these types of matchups, or if this is just sort of a phase, if it's kind of its goth phase that we all go through through the 200th episode. It's Spider-Man 3 phase, if you could call it that.
I'm kind of upset that the 200th episode doesn't line up with ours, because next week will be episode 89 of Draped in Gold and like 200 of NXT. You're like, oh, so close. So close.
But it is interesting. We are getting to a point where pre-pandemic is going to be a smaller portion of NXT UK's history than post-pandemic very soon. And that's kind of weird to think about, because it felt like it was a pretty established brand when everything shut down. So time rolls on, Flobo. Rolls on.
I'm tired.
speaking of rolling on, we had what could be the single greatest talk show segment in the history of all WWE, all pro wrestling. I mean, Marty Jannetty getting super kicked was nothing compared to the firepower of this talk show segment. We got Last Legend joining Shaw Samuels and Noam Dar on the Supernova Sessions. And this was just brilliance. It was perfect. It was like Family Guy and Simpsons coming together for an episode, something you never thought you'd see, but we got it. I thought this was brilliant. I want to first start off with Last Legend and Flobo. I know we've seen her a bit on 2.0, but today she felt like an absolute star on this platform.
First of all, I said it last week, and I'll say it again. That theme song, it's so dope. Yeah, you know, look, I'll be 100%. There were some times when she was telling me I wasn't worthy, and I kind of got lost in the weeds a bit with the microphone stuff. But when the beat dropped with her on stage with her street clothes, I go, okay, I get it. For weeks, I was like, Last Legend had all the tools, but where is her place in NXT, especially in a post-Boss world, in a post-Belair world? But this right here was the first inkling I go, I get Last Legend. Not quite by the merch level yet, but only only time will tell. You know, I think a couple of weeks of this NXT invasion of Ms. Legend will be enough to have her be a different brand altogether.
I thought what was great, too, is the fellas were so kind to her. I was a little worried she was going to Yoko Ono them for a little bit there because they seemed to be competing to be nice. But Shaw Samuels, just a gentleman, gave her his seat, gave her some flowers. Of course, so did Noam Dar. He was nervous, but he got through it. I'm proud of him. And again, a very successful show. But this led to a few different things. Of course, before the show, we saw that Lash Legend gave Amelia McKenzie her bags. And I think it was really cool that Amelia McKenzie saw the star power and decided, you know what, I'm going to carry the bags of Lash Legend for her.
There's nothing more British or Londoner than being hospitable. So that was great to say, hey, thanks for welcoming you. I know I'm just not nearly as cool as you are, Lash. I'll hold your bags for you. It was nice. It was good to see.
But after the show, we got Shaw Samuels and him and Lash Legends, they're hitting it up. They're having a good time. I feel the fireworks. I can see the romance in the air. Cupid's pulling back that arrow in his bow. And then Damon Kemp comes in and makes some jerky remarks about Shaw Samuels for no reason at all. By the way, making fun of Shaw Samuels fashion, wearing that Damon Kemp.
The Damon Kemp hate I did not expect from you. I mean, look, if you look at it, his name has already had odds assigned to it without even him showing up this week. I mean, Damon Kemp just do what he has to do. Shaw Samuels was the aggressor, if you think about it.
Damon Kemp had a match with Danny Jones. If I saw Danny Jones' name across from a guy who's never wrestled before that I've ever seen, yeah, I wouldn't give him any odds either. I'd say Danny Jones is going to mop the floor with this fella.
Leave Danny Jones alone. I'm a Josh Morrell guy. But Damon Kemp is someone I've liked on Level Up, and I like the opportunity he had a chance this week. And it was a rough match, right? But like, I don't understand why Shaw Samuels felt the need to get involved after the fact. If I think a sore loser, Ole was the east side of Shaw Samuels.
By the way, I love the cold war we're brewing between Danny Jones and Josh Morrell. Even though there's no interaction between them, this rivalry between them. I got to say, I think what Shaw Samuels did was totally fair. I mean,
you would.
He was talking to a girl. The romance was in the air. This could have been the next great love story. And you know, we all love love stories in pro wrestling. Hmm. This could have been it. But then Damon Kemp messed this up, got in his way, ruined it. If someone stole true love from you, would you not want to react and show them you can't just do that?
You can't look for true love at a job where you can't walk through the parking lot safely. That's Shaw Samuels' problem. Damon Kemp is saying, look, keep your eyes on the prize. I'd have come all the way to here to get involved in this. I'm here to fight. Can't knock him for that.
I think the way he talked about Shaw Samuels and what he did in front of Lash Legends in a post-Oscars world, I think that's exactly what Shaw Samuels could have done. I do want to say, it for some reason, that when they introduced Damon Kemp and she said Minnesota, it sounded funny coming out of a British announcer's voice.
It doesn't exist. I think it's a faraway land to them.
Shaw Samuels got the win with the Oklahoma Slam. By the way, Danny Jones, he's losing a lot, but you kind of feel the people growing to respect him, no? Like the fans.
Oh, absolutely. Even though we make fun of Danny Jones and Josh Morrell and even some of the female talents, well, even those that don't have a good win-loss record, I think the NXT UK universe knows good talent when they see it. Sid Scalia and Johnny Sin have a plethora of options. They ever try to expand that brand? If NXT UK becomes a two-hour show, they go out touring again. And that's why I love that brand so much, because even when you see someone going, well, bro, you're 0 for your last six, I go, maybe today's the day, huh? Yeah. Bet the house on it.
I think that's the power of NXT UK, because every match is such a fight that no one ever comes out looking weak. You always feel like they have a chance. But you mentioned Sid Scalia. Now, he was having a chat, and then a couple of fellas showed up. We got a giant Von Wagner coming up and talking down to Sid Scalia. I mean, when you're that tall, you talk down to everybody, though. Fair. And then I see Sam Gradwell say, hey, I'm the only one that talks down to Sid Scalia. Now, I agree. I like the way Sam Gradwell does it. But let's face it, Sam, everybody talks down to Sid Scalia. Come on. That's just what they do. But are we going to get a potential match? Von Wagner, Sam Gradwell. I'm already sold. This is a matchup I want to see.
I should be excited, Jack. I should be buying posters and looking for prizes in cereal boxes. My miniature Von Wagner and Sam Gradwell toys on my mantle. But you know what really sticks to my craw? You know what grinds my gears?
Ooh.
This whole concept of Von Wagner's world. Yeah, I get it. He travels to different countries. He beats people up for fun. But I got a feeling someone needs to shut him up. And maybe, just maybe, it could be the Thunderstorm, Sam Gradwell.
Sam Gradwell, he got a big win against Kenny Williams. So he is kind of on a roll right now. And he's becoming a lot more lovable over the past months. And so this might be the thing that really gets the NXT UK universe behind him. And I think this is going to be fun. I'm rooting for Sam Gradwell. I want to see him beat up Von Wagner.
Wait, we're agreeing?
You're agreeing with me.
This show's over.
You're agreeing with me. I'm not agreeing with you.
Oh, okay, fair enough. One day you will. I swear to you, when that happens.
But, of course, the big news of this announcement with Sid Scalia there, the thing that I think really was worth talking about here was he talked about how to find new opponents for Mustache Mountain, they're going to have a bit of a couple of play-in games to get to a triple threat match. And so it's going to be next week, Ready and Forward taking on the Coffee Boys, Agallas, and Tiamon and Rohan Raja are teaming up as well. But team number four is still TBD, as far as I'm aware. I didn't catch it. But Flobo, First off, I know that Ready and Forward's your team, even though they've had 16 chances to win these titles.
They had two.
And
they had
Trent Seven has single-handedly thwarted the two of them together.
He cheated.
And now they're going up against the Coffee Boys. Coffee Boys also in a bit of trouble now, but if you're a betting man, if you're talking to Shaw Samuels, who are you putting your money behind? I know your favorites are Ready and Forward, but who are you putting your money on? This reinvigorated Gallus or this ready to find a way to win Ready and Forward?
So here's the deal. Lamb in the chat saying that 14, he's speculating to be Stars and Massive. If that's the case, it's almost a rerun of what we saw in that last tournament to swap out Symbiosis for Gallus. And I think the way it is now, I think Ready and Forward still have the best shot. I know they're my boys. I know I'm an unbiased journalist that really watches wrestling and talks about it. But you think Gallus, the win-loss record, you and I can both talk about this. Gallus is kind of wobbly. They tried different lineup changes. Okay, the Da Familia, they're strong. They can totally do it, but they don't really get themselves in the division long enough. They're out there selling personal scores and just running roughshod on the whole promotion wholesale. And Pretty Deadly is occupied being champions elsewhere. I do think the team that has the best chance of winning are Ready and Forward, but that fourth team is a question mark. You and I both know when it comes to wrestling, question marks always have the advantage.
If you were a betting man now, then that said, if I said you could bet all your money on the question mark team before you know who they are,
don't do this.
Or everybody else, you can have everybody else or the question mark. Who do you bet on?
The question mark of the field. Wait, what's the odds pay? Is it like even money if I pick the field?
I'm not Shaw Samuels. You gotta ask him.
Boy. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna say, even though I love Ready and Forward, they will be champions. I think I have pretty much exhausted Ready and Forward as Mustache Mountain because of the cheating that's going on in Mustache Mountain. So yes, I will put the money, the farm, the rent check on question mark.
Interesting. And do you agree? Do you think it's going to be Stars and Mastiff, or do you think we might get a surprise?
I'm just guessing here. I would love to see those Creeds in that spot personally. Just having Creeds Gallus, if they advance, or even Creeds Ready and Forward would be great. But Stars and Mastiff is the only one I can think of that's ready to go, because Symbiosis is tied up with other things as well. So yeah, I think they're the best odds.
Tied up in a dog collar that shouldn't be there. That's so frustrating. I just admire the patience of Eddie Dennis to just go through all this. But here we are. You know, looking at this, I kind of feel like Gallus, they had a press conference. I think they're I don't know if it's I don't know if everything's been fixed per se, but I do think they're a little re-energized. They're a little bit ready to start pushing and making another run at the title. So I kind of give them I kind of give them some credit there. Tiamat and Rohan Raja, by the way, though, they're unstoppable. Why do we not pick this team? Why do we not pick the team that wins all the time? For some reason, we're always trying to be clever. We're always trying to pick people that no one's expecting to win or maybe have the fancy pick. But Tiamat and Rohan Raja, they win every time. Just pick them.
I can tell you why. Because they don't wrestle often enough. They're out doing cinematic movies backstage. They have look dope angles and nice color palettes. But it's not a consistent victory. It's kind of like they wrestle and then they take a promo.
Those are dope angles and color palettes.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I mean,
you're right.
They are pretty good. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Come?
is the director part of DeFamilia? Because they should be with all the work they put in.
Their manager's a cameraman. Just good job, guys. Old hand crank.
So we have two debuts, really, that had occurred. One is Tiger Taran and Tate Mayfairs had a match. Tate Mayfairs, by the way, the most British sounding name you could have ever come up with, I think.
Absolutely, Jack. Absolutely.
Tiger Taran reminded me of Tiamat in a way himself, actually, in the fact that he, not that he was as brutal, but the fact that he was not necessarily the most dazzling wrestler I've seen all in my life, or the most dominant, but still very impressive, and still did a good job of getting the win here. One with the Swanton Bomb, which also reminded me that there's not a lot of top rope finishers in NXT UK. Let me ask you this: did Tiger impress you? Do you need to see more? And what do you think about Tate Mayfairs? Can he join the three-man, can he make it a three-man squad with Danny Jones and Josh Morrell?
Yeah, I think they're already in that squad. Tate Mayfairs in the back, like, I got next, bro. Yeah, it's the most British name ever on the roster. Now, I said this before, and I alluded to this on Twitter, but Tiger Taran looks awfully familiar. I'm just saying, he was wearing a mask, didn't try super hard to do anything different or kind of weird. Himalayas are kind of a couple hundred miles away from Pakistan. I mean, it could be Amir Jordan. So if it is, I'm impressed. Able to come back and be a whole different interpretation persona kind of a thing.
If that's the case, do you think that this is just something that he's going to do until he can eventually get revenge on Kenny Williams? Or do you think this is who he's going to be from now on?
I'm just guessing and speculating for now. I'm just saying. But if it's a whole new interpretation, I am totally impressed. See, I'm hedging my bets is what I'm doing. I'm totally hedging my bets here. So if that's somebody new, then that's totally fine. But if it's Amir Jordan, then I can understand why he's coming back under a mask.
You got to put the grapefruit on the table, Flobo. Which is it?
Don't put me in a corner, man. Okay, it is Amir Jordan. That's where I said it.
Okay, so does that mean Sid Scalia should fine him and refire him? Trying to skirt the "you got to get out of here" rules, because he's not supposed to be here.
Yeah, he's not supposed to be here, but at the same time, no one said Tiger Taran couldn't be here.
That's some malarkey, as they say. It's you. I mean, I can't throw on a mask and go back to places I wasn't supposed to be before. That's no fair. So, as we continue on here, I thought Tiger, like I said, I thought Tate Mayfairs did a really great job with showing out here. And I think that, I mean, he's definitely earned a spot here to come back and do a lot of great things. So good seeing him. Tiger Taran, on the other hand, again, I think he did everything he was supposed to. I think he did everything he needed to do. Now I want to see him get in the ring with someone a bit more dangerous, which might be that Kenny Williams, to something that Flobo alluded to. Kenny Williams backstage, unhappy, looks disheveled, looks destroyed by something, pulling down a bunch of flyers. I didn't see what the flyers were, but while everyone's cheering Tiger, everyone's applauding him, everyone's happy about him, old Kenny Williams is upset and went chasing after him. Now, maybe he's thinking the same thing Flobo's thinking. Maybe he's thinking, I need to go get a hold of Tiger Taran and make sure that someone isn't skirting the rules and someone isn't doing what they're not supposed to be doing and coming back when they were supposed to leave because they lost a match. I think Kenny Williams has a grievance he could file. Whether or not Tiger Taran really is Amir Jordan, I think he should still file the grievance. And I still think there should be some investigation into this. I think they should remove the mask of Tiger Taran just to be safe and just so people like me can sleep well and know that there aren't any rules being skirted. I think that maybe Tiger Taran should take his mask off in the ring where I could see it. Get me the Spider-Man is what I'm saying. So as we continue on here, Flobo's refreshing his screen here, and hopefully we get a better stream here in a second. But in the meantime, we'll continue on. I want to talk about Ivy Nile, who's going to be showing up in NXT UK next week for the 200th episode. And if you've been watching NXT 2.0, you know that she is a force of nature. She's a specimen. I can't wait to see what she can do in NXT 2.0, where the competition is so fierce. But I know she's going to be a big deal. I know she's going to do big things there. She's not just coming over for a hello. She's coming over to really shake things up in NXT UK. And I know this not because she's a part of Diamond Mine. I know it not because of what she's done in NXT 2.0. I know it not because of her resume. I know Ivy Nile is going to be a huge deal in NXT UK because none other than Nina Samuels is going to personally be welcoming her to the brand next week on the 200th episode. So that's how I know this is going to be a big deal. That's how I know that this is very important. Not only is she coming on episode 200, and of course, Nina Samuels doing her show on the 200th episode just makes sense, but that's how I know this is a big deal. I'm excited for it. I know Nina is excited for it. And I know Ivy might be a little nervous knowing she's going to talk to someone who is as big a star as Nina Samuels is. But I think it's going to be great. I think everyone's going to love it. Lamb in the chat here. I don't have the power to put your comment up on screen, but I'm going to read it out loud. Anyways, how nice is Nina Samuels introducing Ivy Nile to NXT UK with the Nina Samuels show? You know, that's going to be a big episode, the 200th episode. But I actually think that Nina Samuels. Glad to have you back.
Yeah.
Everyone here in the chat, we were all in agreement. We know that Ivy Nile is going to be a big deal in NXT UK. We know that she's going to be a force, and we know that they expect big things of her, not because they're bringing her on the 200th episode, but because Nina Samuels herself is going to be welcoming her to the brand.
Well, you know, because that's her favorite of all time. First of all, congratulations on the renewal of the Nina Samuels show. She's all
there
about
was no
it.
Doubt.
Yeah, yeah, there was no doubt. But she's going to get destroyed. She's going to be totally murdered by Ivy Nile next week. Let's be real. Ivy Nile's going to shove and lock her in a claw. It's going to be fantastic to watch.
Listen, only Dragunov's the only one that gets nervous and emotional in these big, high-pressure interviews. I think Ivy Nile is going to be so excited to be there, though. I think she's going to be so happy to have this opportunity to speak to a star as big as Nina Samuels. This is going to be a big deal for her. But I do want to talk about the I do want to talk a bit about the 200th episode and how we saw this hype video for Jordan Devlin and Ilya Dragunov. The title is on the line. The world title. They've exchanged it in different countries. The NXT UK world title. We already have our favorites. We already know like who we want to win and whatnot. My question to you is, take everything else out of it. Who would you rather see in NXT 2.0?
Oh, don't throw this to me. You know what? I'm going to go out there and I'll say it. It doesn't really matter who I want to see in NXT 2.0. It comes down to who I want to see in the main roster. And even though both men are great, we've been singing the praises of the Irish Ace for a long time. So if this is the route that gets Jordan Devlin at SummerSlam or at WrestleMania, then I'm okay with it. Which is weird because going into this match, without the stipulation, I thought it'd be all Irish Ace all day.
So if that's the case, Irish Ace is going to be successful. Irish Ace is going to do well. But who else could stand up to Dragunov? It seems that he has slayed every single dragon in his way.
There is unfinished business with Rampage Brown, but I don't know what his return to the top is right now. But yeah, and I think NXT UK is that good that they can throw up a tournament and doesn't feel forced or rushed to really get anyone in that spot for that next opponent.
You know what I think might happen?
Oh,
I got a feeling this is going to be a shift. This is going to be a change. I got a feeling Coffee Boys are going to win those tag team titles. And Wolfgang's going to become the champion, and Gallus will be draped in gold, undoing all the harm and all the wrongs we've seen over the past year.
You know what? That would be a masterstroke. That would totally reward all those long-term Gallus Boys fans. They'd be like, I believed in them the entire time. You know what? Wolfie was always my choice to win the first ever UK title. I'd be so glad if he did it.
If he did it, I'd say, hey, yeah. But we got to move on. We got to get to spring break and the NXT 2.0 show. And I just want to put I'm going to say a few quick overall thoughts, and we'll get into the nitty gritty as we always do. I thought this was a great show. In fact, I thought this was a great show. I think if you're a fan of great wrestling matches, this show actually overperformed. This was an incredible. I know people hate 2.0 because it's cool to hate 2.0. This was a fantastic show, full stop. And I think the best part of it was the fact that we had the prettiest and deadliest hosts for a fire show like this to kick things off. Pretty Deadly started the whole thing off. We have this great summer break vibe. There were a couple of naughty boys talking about what they were excited for. This is a great show, and the setup was cool. I do wish they had a little bit more beach stuff out there, but other than that, this was a great overall show, was it not?
See, I was all on board agreeing with you. I was like, you know what? Stand and Deliver was only a month ago. Spring Break kind of seemingly came out of nowhere, but it really over-delivered what we thought. But the one thing I was not expecting was looking at Elton Prince's or Kit Wilson's ass when the lights went on. I was like, oh, well, I guess you're handsome, but stop. This is not cool. So, no. Less Pretty Deadly, please. But it was great. Great show.
Yeah, I should be a politician. See, I say a bunch of stuff that I know you'll agree with, and then I slip in the one thing, and then I go back to what you
Donald Jack.
Pork.
That's
what it is. I'll be like, all the things you want the government to do, and give me tons of money, and more of the stuff you want me to do.
That's it. He's right.
So we get to the main event here. This was obviously the big takeaway here. Good hard-hitting matchup between Joe Gacy and Bron Breakker, with the crowd surprisingly split pretty heavily throughout this one, which actually really shocked me. Gacy has given up being, you know, all about inclusivity and really focusing on aggression, as they said on commentary. But no one's more aggressive than Bron Breakker. Breakker retains. But Flobo, the question we all have as the show goes off the air, who are the hooded men with the red faces?
Well, the question I had was, that's a dope singlet. Was that a family heirloom singlet that was passed down, or he had it remade? That was my question. No, but you're right. The druids, the guys in the mask, no idea. But I don't think Joe Gacy's done. I feel like it was an opportunity to put someone in that spot, and Joe Gacy did that. He made sure to get that ring and became a Hall of Famer for a week or two. And maybe could have been one and done, but you know in 2.0 that almost never happens. This could be the second phase of what Joe Gacy's plan is for somehow acquiring or annexing the NXT Championship. By the way, the rainbow design, finally growing on me.
Of the NXT logo?
The NXT title. The NXT Championship, yeah. With the rainbow gradients on them.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, the whole thing is growing on me, really. I don't want to break your heart, but they said that was the original singlet, but I saw someone posted a picture from that show that Rick Steiner was on. It's not the same one. It looks different. It's close.
You enjoy doing that. You enjoy. You're like, I don't want to break your bubble, but I'm totally going to do it.
I don't want to burst your bubble. Here's my needle.
See, you are a scoundrel. Why do you like Eddie Dennis so much?
Yeah. We're both smart. That's why. Do you think the guys in the red with the red hoods, or I guess black hoods, red masks, are they people we know or are they new?
I think they're new recruits to Joe Gacy's thing. I think whether or not they explain where Harlan is inside the show, I think Joe Gacy is like handpicked for gang warfare, and we'll get to more gang warfare this episode. So I do think they're new recruits.
So you think Gacy's going to get the next thing for these guys is we're just going to get a rematch, but maybe with some more aggressive druids to help him out.
I feel like Bron Breakker's done a lot for NXT in a short time. Two title reigns, kind of the face of this brand, but he is running out of competition and fast, and I can't think of anyone one-on-one that can take him down. Maybe Von Wagner, but even Von Wagner is busy off across the pond and not having his own string of wins being built up. So if you got to take down Bron Breakker, you need an army, and I think that's what Joe Gacy is going to do.
We will see. I feel like Zion Quinn might be one of those guys. He's been MIA for a little bit, and I think that could be the surprise. Quinn.
Don't get me started about Zion Quinn. I'm going to turn to Stephen A. if I have a rant about Zion Quinn.
Dude, what's your rant about Zion Quinn? Don't say you're going to Stephen A. and then back out.
Look, we all love the new characters of NXT 2.0. But Joe Gacy is one of them. Bron Breakker, you can say arguably the whole brand was built in his image. Zion Quinn looks like $1 million. Zion Quinn has $1 million moveset. Zion Quinn is getting himself involved with 5-cent characters. He should go out in the zone and go back to what worked from before. The whole Electro Lopez thing was confusing. The Draco Anthony thing, befuddling. Focus on you and your actions in the ring. Get those dubs, get those wins together, strung up, so you can have a chance to challenge for the North American title or the NXT title. Not me coming out being like, whatever happened to Zion Quinn? Come on, man. You're tall. You're strong. You can pretty much hit, chisel, all these things, words. You can do it all, but you haven't done it yet, man. That's the whole world's waiting for you.
You heard it here first. Flobo thinks that Bron Breakker is a 5-cent character. We are going to continue on.
No. I'm not even drinking. This is like spring water. This is like liquid death spring water. I think I'm getting in trouble.
liquid death, the most deceiving marketing ever. The first time I had it, I was like, even though it's clearly water, I'm like, is this water though? Or is there something else? Because it looks terrifying on the cup.
I am so scared to have it in the car when I'm driving. I'm like, this looks so bad.
we get a tag team match, and it's the Creed Brothers versus the Viking Raiders. Another hard-hitting, awesome slugfest. It ends when Roddy comes out and saves his team, proving to the Creed Brothers they really do need him. Do you want to see more of the Viking Raiders in NXT?
No. Why? I think the Viking Raiders is a fantastic team. They showed out this week, and it answered my question why they wrestled last week, because it makes sure you see them in all angles. But seeing them this week, I feel they're a stronger team, but it still makes you think about an era that no longer exists. Like, there's like Dolph Ziggler coming back, and you say, oh, wow, I could see him being NXT in this whole new world. Viking Raiders look like they went to a time machine. Just totally ignore the raw stuff and said, hey, look, we got you from 1.0. And for that reason, look kind of out of place. Not for anything their fault, just the idea that we got to know them better as War Raiders back then.
I like how you think they look like they stepped out of a time machine because they were on Monday and not because they're Viking.
Yes. I walk right to that one. Yeah. Wait, from Raw?
So this doesn't look like it fits in today's time. Yeah. That looks like it's from yesterday. Now this is where I'm kind of interested, because usually in pro wrestling you can just see a common thread throughout certain things, and of course the Viking Raiders had some words with Pretty Deadly, which makes me think that they're going to have a matchup eventually, but the Viking Raiders lost this match, so I wouldn't think that they would get a title shot. But at the same time, I'm looking at the Creed Brothers, who lost a gauntlet match and then needed help to win at Spring Break. And I can't imagine them becoming champs with the current rate they're going. Who of these guys is going to challenge for the titles, and which one do you think has the better odds of winning them? I mean, Pretty Deadly is going to win them, but keep him.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, boy. The Creeds. It looks like they didn't like the fact they won the way they did. They were trying to understand why Roddy came out of nowhere and be like, I'm the leader and don't you forget it. They have the story that they got beat backstage during a month and a half ago. They got to get their revenge. Pretty Deadly has to get the comeuppance, right? Or they're just too slippery. No one knows.
They're definitely too slippery, I can guarantee that. But I also think, by the way, Roderick Strong's right. he should be asserting his dominance as the leader. He is the leader. This was, whole thing was built around him. Why is everyone acting surprised? Roderick Strong, I'm with you on this one, pally. Carmelo Hayes and Solo Sikoa. And
now, hold on, Jack. It's supposed to be about the love of training and pushing yourself to be the best. There's no bosses in that.
Sounds like someone who has a boss.
Fair enough. Yes, sir.
Ironically, we get an NA title match. Cameron Grimes, Solo Sikoa, Carmelo Hayes, probably match of the night in a, again, all these matches were incredible. The crowd really was behind Solo Sikoa. I felt like they really wanted him to win this one. But Grimes finds a way to get the win. I want to talk to you about Solo Sikoa, and I want to say this respectfully, because I do truly mean it respectfully. He's got like a 50-50 win-loss record. In fact, about 50-50. Is he the most dominant person to ever have a 50-50 win-loss record?
I think so. I mean, you could argue, and I'm not sure if you want to talk about the main roster, that Braun Strowman towards the end had a pretty much 50-50 Braun record. But like, Solo Sikoa was presented as somebody who beat people up as a young age. And when he won that match against Boa, remember him, y'all? He used to be on the roster. I felt that he was going to be on this giant win streak. It just hasn't happened yet. But you know what? Much like UK, it doesn't matter because the crowd sees talent. They all want to see more of Solo Sikoa.
Boa and Zion Quinn are the guys with the red masks on.
No, I mean, it's possible. I can't even say that, but no.
Boa. Yeah, so I think the real story for me was that the crowd loves Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa, mm-hmm. This was definitely if they weren't behind him, if people aren't behind him, now is the time to get behind him.
I just want to say, it tickles me that one time you got in the Gunther's face, and like when Gunther was like, "The mat's sacred." He's like, "I don't give a damn about that mat." It makes me laugh for no reason. I was like, "All right, dude, so
what?" That was bold, by the way. So Grimes takes advantage of Carmelo Hayes' hard work and got the win. Who's next
there
for the? Huh?
I agree with you. That's fair.
Oh yeah, it's fair. Yeah, who's next?
Whew, the North American title division.
I think I would love to see Carmelo get the title, but because I mean, he made it the A championship and now it's just NA, which means like not applicable. But
damn, you hate Carmelo, you hate Cameron Grimes that bad, bro?
I don't hate Cameron Grimes, I just love Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, fair enough. Carmelo Hayes is the official draped in gold performer on NXT 2.0. Yeah. He has to be champion again. Why not Trick Williams, man? Get Trick Williams some gold. That'd be a kind of cool dynamic.
I like that. Do you think this, speaking of Carmelo Hayes, though, I like Trick Hayes being, or Trick Williams being the NA champion, but do you think not winning the title was a better thing for Carmelo Hayes? Do you think he's got bigger things lined up now that he's not a part of the NA title?
I want to say so. The guy looks like $1 million. He really, and we make fun of it here. We make light of it here on Draped in Gold, but the North American title looked better than it did in a long time when he cashed in his clipboard, I don't know, to be NA champion. So I feel like if the fact that he didn't get a chance to get back today, he's destined for bigger and better things. And the draft is coming up at this time, 4 months from now or 6 months from now. It could be a game changer for them if he's already called it before then.
We had Wendy Chu.
Yeah, woo!
First, Wendy Chu does something incredibly dangerous by turning up Mandy's tanning bed like she hasn't seen Final Destination 3, then steals Toxic Attraction stuff from the beach. Even Roxanne is saying, I should be training. Why are we doing this? But Wendy continues to be a menace. Now, Wendy Chu is putting Mandy's life in danger. She's committing more theft. By the way, this is becoming a repeated thing now where Wendy Chu likes to steal. And she is preventing Roxanne from working and getting ready. How are we supposed to like Wendy Chu? What is Toxic Attraction? They've literally never done anything to Wendy Chu.
So just because someone goes on a little crime spree with Grand Theft Auto and attempted murder, someone has a problem with it? It's funny. Why not? What's the big deal, Jack? Would you want to burn someone in a tanning bed? It's awesome.
Have you seen Final Destination 3?
This is why I don't get behind cars where there's logs in the back. But yes, I've seen those movies.
That's got to be one of those unpopular movies with the most memorable thing that everyone thinks when they get behind one of those trucks. Is Wendy Chu leading Roxanne down the dark side?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm here for it. Why not? You know, on paper, I've always folded my arms and scowled at tag teams that look very similar. And I mean that because Wendy Chu and Roxanne Perez are short stature, but they have good strikes and they're kind of this whole like mischievous thing going for them. But frankly, why not? Roxanne Perez has a lineage and she adds some legitimacy to Wendy Chu. They can have this cool dynamic where one is like the straight person, the one is the person that just take naps in the middle of the ring. Very cool dynamic.
Roxanne is in the breakout tournament. She should be focusing on that. She could get a singles career going right away, but Wendy Chu wants to drag everyone down with her. Unlike Toxic Attraction, who's all about supporting each other and hanging out together and having a good time. Speaking about hanging out together and having a good time, the Legatos and
Legatos,
Tony D'Angelo. The families get together and agree to work together. Flobo, is this like the corporation and the ministry? Will they be unstoppable together?
I just saw that this week, actually, on Double SmackDown. First of all, in my notes, I go, I would pay to see a premium Santos Escobar web series just to see what business. I can't see a sit down where I don't know what anyone does outside of the ring. You know, my family's kind of interested in some things. Yes, my family's interested in things too. I want to see the alliance, but then AJ Galante gets abducted, and you know that's how Santos gets down, abducting people in the parking lot.
Wait,
so
what?
I don't know.
Abducted? They're working together. Santos Escobar was like, hey, you know, since we're all working together, you're a very good advisor. Let's go for a ride. We'll get some ice cream. And he was like, sure, let's go.
Sure, let's go. I know the concierge is. Get the truck. That's what I saw. That was an abduction.
He was excited about getting ice cream on the way to the office. That's all it was.
Ice cream does slap. Maybe you're right.
What is D'Angelo? What's Tony D'Angelo's group called? Because we got Legado del Fantasma. What's his family called? Is it the D'Angelo?
I have no idea.
Why does that sound like the R&B singer?
No, I don't think they have a name, but I guess the family. I don't know.
NXT 2.9 has good video packages too, but I feel like with all due respect, if NXT UK's video package team put together some kind of thing of the Legatos versus the D'Angelos, you could have such a cool video package put together here. But
now, to be fair to NXT 2.0, it's kind of hard to make Orlando badass compared to London. I'm just putting it up.
I was going to say, the beach that Toxic Attraction was at looks eerily familiar to the one that Indy and Dex were at for their, honeymoon. Now that you mentioned that we don't know what they do, I would love to see them both like go back their own separate ways. We haven't had work in months. Hopefully they just like to work with us. We're just playing hardball. We can't look desperate. But both sides are broke.
It's like, what job do you guys do? Tell me.
someone who had a interesting job was Nathan Frazer and Grayson Waller. They had a match, and it was a really good one. In my opinion, Grayson Waller stole this match, which kind of surprised me. From sitting in the beach chair to the flipping unprettier to sliding to the outside of the clothesline, staying balanced on the turnbuckle, Grayson Waller maybe not getting enough credit for what he can do in the ring. And, of course, Chase Yu got involved in the match, and they cost Waller the match, and Frazier's off to a start. I want to start with Nathan Frazer. If you had never watched NXT UK, what would you think of Nathan Frazer as of now?
Who's this nice young man hanging out with those Chase U boys? That's the first thing I would think of. I didn't know who they were, but this is my match of the night. Grayson Waller is someone that can do the character stuff, no doubt, even though he kind of looks like he's like 19 going on 40, but you know how it is out there and you have those tanning beds, you know? But the match itself was cool because Grayson is so silky smooth and slimy in his own way, and then you have Nathan Frazer with the crisp moves. Everyone kind of showed out here. But to answer your question about Nathan Frazier, you can tell the potential. Dripping potential. And for the first time, even compared to his UK stuff, there's some emotions there. It isn't just, I'm in a fight. It's, I'm happy I beat this guy, or I'm being challenged in the ring. And so once you're able to show how you feel when you perform, that's when fans latch on and go, yeah, that guy, that's my guy.
Right. Yeah, I think good things for him. Like you said, in my notes, you already covered it, but we give Waller a lot of credit for how entertaining he is on the mic, but is he also one of the most entertaining in-ring NXT superstars? And
he's
I think so unique.
He's like, yeah.
No, go ahead.
If he's not the guy that becomes the face of the brand, he's definitely going to be the guy that people will select in an arcade fighting game. Like the Mr. Perfect of that. Not to compare to Mr. Perfect, but you know what I'm saying.
Right. No, I actually was going to say I agree with the analogy in that. There, everyone talks about, you know, Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels, but then there's the big other group that's like, actually, I'm a Mr. Perfect person. Yeah. But then my question to you is, should Chase U be banned from the arena for always getting involved?
I would say so, but it seems like they're a party when they hang out there. Like, it seems like that's the section you want to get tickets to.
Is this not a full sale company? Chase U's on, you know, in the wrong territory.
Yeah, I feel like if you had tickets to NXT, you could ask, can I be in the Chase U supporter section? Like a football game. We're all red. Yeah.
A few quick things here. Cora Jade and Nikita Lyons survive long enough to beat Natalya and Lash Legend. Should Lyons and Jade go for the tag team titles?
Short answer, yes, because why not? but two, I like the fact, even though we talked about her before, Lash Legend has really improved a lot since we've seen her, which I didn't expect. Not to say she has not improved, it's just the fact that she was able to showcase her talents and hang with Natalya. Props to that. But Cora Jade is someone that you can tell for a while there was plans for Cora, but that's someone I also believe. Now we have a little bit more unique look with her gear. We have a little bit unique moveset. These are building blocks that people go, this is someone we should invest in.
If you're picking a stock for through WrestleMania, who do you think is going to go? Because I feel like they're both going to go up. They're both good buys.
Okay.
But would you buy Cora Jade or Nikita Lyons?
Oh, man.
They're both going up. Just to be clear, they're both going up. Yeah. It's just a matter of which one do you think will be the higher stock by WrestleMania next year?
Here's why it's difficult for those who haven't seen 2.0 this week. Cora Jade is coming off from the outside of like the, we call the indie, like the main indies, right? But then Nikita Lyons' background is like, wow. So I think Nikita is better at being a performer for WrestleMania. First thing I'll say, Nikita. But then Cora Jade is someone that can what they call selling, right? You can, we don't use insider terms here, but you can still, so like that is also important. Heath Slater will work forever because he can sell. So I don't really know, like Sasha Banks is one of the best sellers, right? So I don't know. But I'm going to say, for the sakeness of rest, I'm going to go with Cora Jade because she's a little younger, and I can see her being a part of a faction and being a solo. I think with the Nikita Lyons, she's all solo. That's a little bit of a small needle of thread.
Right. Yeah. A little more pliable with Cora Jade.
Yeah.
Lash Legend, you just mentioned her real quickly. She took another loss in this rivalry with Lyons. Do you think she needs to step back and maybe start targeting someone else so she can start racking up some dubs? Or what's next for her? What do you think she should do? Because she's, on UK, she's growing, but if you keep running that same brick wall, you're never going to get momentum.
Yeah, actually, they complain about that in 2K GM mode. When you see the person loses to the same person every week. It reminds me of Robert Rodriguez. When he made his El Mariachi, everyone was telling him what's your next project going to be, and he did four different projects. He didn't want the sophomore slump to be the one that people thought that he was a slept step down. Lash Legend's already moved on. She put her seeds across the pond. Why not? You can move on, do whatever the heck you want. Now the pressure's on Nikita Lyons. You beat Lash Legend. You actually canceled her show temporarily. What's next for you?
So, speaking of what's next, we got a Briggs and Jensen where a doctor was looking over the arm, and I got to give a shout out. This doctor is not just some any random Yahoo. This doctor was actually Nick Bonanno, the former executive producer of the United Wrestling Network's Championship Wrestling. I know that fellow very well. He had to, of course, step away from Championship Wrestling to go get his doctoring degree and then go help people out at NXT. But very cool to see Nick Bonanno, and glad to hear that his his degree in doctoring has come through, and he's being able to put it to good use, helping out those
quick program.
But he apparently Brooks is going to be in a cast for 8 weeks. Like that's by the way, in reality, an eternity in pro wrestling to say that. What's going to happen with this team? Are they off? Are they on the shelf for 8 weeks? Do you think it's not going to be a real 8 weeks? Do you think that he'll recover sooner? Do you think Jensen's going to go on his own? Like 8 weeks is a long time in NXT 2.0.
Oh, absolutely not. If I am Brooks or if I am Josh, I would say you get those packages. You go out there, you talk about your dating tips, you start doing blogs, do whatever you can, because a blink in the eye, you'll miss it. We haven't seen Boa in 8 weeks. I'm the only one still clamoring for the guy. And I have a show. I got a platform. So, yes, it is a long time. Go out there. If you got to hang out with Chase U, then you got to high five the unseen GM to say, hey, look, don't like forget about me. Go ahead and do it. The tag team division is in the midst of change. When we're in the mix, when you get help.
Yep. And we talk about teams in the midst of change. Kind of a somber, quick moment here that it was done in a funny way, but also kind of a sad way. Duke Hudson and Indy Hartwell. Indy looking at her ring, Duke leaning in, and Indy says, nah, and they both go their separate ways. Is this the end of this whole relationship? Are we going to see Indy and Duke doing things together, or is this the NXT's way of saying never mind?
It has to be. I mean, it can go both ways because the ring is not there anymore. But it would be best for everyone if we decided to say, "Hey, look, reset." Hey, Duke, there's a poker room. You were there. We put the lights back on. I mean, Indy Hartwell, we love you. Get back in there. Be fine.
Is Duke, do you think that's what's going to happen? He's going to go back to being a poker player? Or do you think he's just going to reboot altogether? Because in NXT 2.0, what it seems is you need to have a little bit of flair to who you are. You can't just say, I'm so-and-so. You've got to have something. Do you think he goes back to being the poker player? Or do you think he just tries to add a different spice?
I think you go back to the before the poker stuff and just being like the jet flying, fairly dressed man, which seems like a very basic character, but he pulls it off, man. Jack was a fan the first time he wore a suit. So that was a spark for them to go back to that.
You know, I know the tag team division is kind of locked up for a little bit, but if he's going to wear a suit, I'd love to see him wear a suit with Suitman Stone and have the big fellas together as a super team, Von Wagner and Duke Hudson. I'd like to see those two guys get together and start causing some ruckus.
Wait, hold on. So you make a tag team or like a loose alliance?
Like a tag team.
Boo, come on. Brendan Vink, 6'5", needs to be on his own. Duke Hudson going with the tag doesn't hit the same.
Indy Hartwell. Last but not least, just with the what's next. Is Candice LeRae still is she still on the roster? I didn't
see that.
Do you think they'll pair back up and get together?
I hope so, but I doubt it. I really feel that Candice LeRae will be someone that it was when Sami Zayn returned from COVID, the COVID lockdown. Not COVID, the COVID lockdown, and be like, hey, remember Cesaro? Not come over me. They're like, yeah, we're good. I want something like that because it'd be a cool refresh for Indy Hartwell because she hasn't really had a chance to shine her own. And she got a lot of time with some really talented people. She's working with some of her friends. And if Indy Hartwell's really going to be the star in NXT 2.0, she has to show the world she can do it on her own with no help.
Well, that does it for us. That's the end of the show, Flobo. We got through it somehow, some way. We made it work. We made it happen. But we always have the MVP of NXT. Flobo, usually I give mine first, and so I'm going to do it again. It's me. I'm the MVP. I hosted the show. I took the reins. No, I'm joking.
No, Flobo, you did, man.
Yeah. No. You should have seen the things I said when you were out. But
hey!
who is your MVP of NXT this week?
Lamb is going to hate me for this, but I got to go Mako Satomura. Here is somebody that had a very personal vendetta attacking her, still like $1 million holding that championship belt, took a match against an opponent that had the clear higher ground and the advantage, and won with a modified Scorpion Rising. So that right there has to be my MVP.
I think I'm going to go with Solo Sikoa. I think the world has changed. It's a pit not changed, but has really gotten behind Solo Sikoa. And when the world does that, that means big things are coming. Big things are going to happen. And I think that the world is the oyster of Solo Sikoa. That does it for us. Flobo boys, say the magic words.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Where can I find you, bro? I got to put, put you over. You're the superstar.
Yeah, I forgot. That's why you host the show. My name is Jack Farmer. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Flobo, where can the world find you at?
I don't care anyway, but it's at Flobo Boys. Until next time, you know. Wait, I got to get it right this time. Do your best and be yourself.
Yes.